But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some of the dumbest shit that has happened so far. Move on to the battles of Portland and Chicago, and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, The Never-Ending Government Shutdown. Let's begin, shall we? It's been 264 long-ass days since the Third Reich took over the United States, and so far, I give it 0 stars. Definitely would not recommend. What with the U.S. job market face-planting harder than in 1929, the cost of living rising while the products we buy are shrinking, and the frozen Gestapo lurking around every corner, especially at Home Depot, let's face it, the bad place really fucking sucks. Which is why this silver lining coping skill suggestion from AOC hits a little different.
You know, the mistake that I made, and I made this early on, you know, from all the movies that we see growing up about heroes and villains, is that I thought that fascist takeover attempts were going to be architected by evil geniuses. And I was not expecting how unearned, nepotistic, mediocre, and just dumb so many of the people architecting this were going to be. And it works because of brute force. Like, you can do anything through brute force, but it's not sophisticated and it does not merit my intellectual respect.
Laugh at them. Stephen Miller is a clown. I've never seen that guy in real life, but he looks like he's like 4'10". And he looks like he is angry about the fact that he's 4'10".
Yeah, he fucking does. That walking, talking, used Q-tip definitely gives frustrated short man vibes. And if it means keeping my sanity, let's do it for the lulz, folks. Starting with that time 40-year-old Pee Wee German did his best Mitch McConnell impression during an interview on CNN.
Stephen Miller just said something so horrifying while on CNN that he literally shocked himself into silence.
The administration filed an appeal this morning with the Ninth Circuit. I would note the administration won an identical case in the Ninth Circuit just a few months ago with respect to the federalizing of the California National Guard. Under Title 10 of the U.S. Code, the president has plenary authority.
Stephen? Hey, Stephen, can you hear me?
Stephen Miller accidentally said something even his loose-lipped, loud-mouth, racist-ass probably shouldn't have said. And someone in his ear said, Stephen, shut the f*** up.
For those of you unfamiliar, plenary authority or plenary power means power that is absolute. It's power that is not subject to any checks or balances at all. It's a legal term. That was very much saying the quiet part out loud, because that means that behind closed doors, the White House sees itself as having dictatorial levels of power. Having a leader with plenary authority across the board, that's called having a king.
Well, that was disturbing in a very fascist kind of way. Although, I got to admit, Timu Goebbels freezing up when he realized that he said the authoritarian part out loud was chef's kiss. Too bad CNN edited out the clip I just played for you on their YouTube version of the interview. I guess they didn't want it to get out, which is why I played it for you on my show, you know, for posterity. And while we're on the subject of the dumbest fascist takeover ever, we've got Air Force Drunk announcing that there are perks to giving Bobby Bonespurs a 20-year-old plane they couldn't sell themselves because nobody wanted it, apparently.
No one other than President Trump could have achieved the peace that what we believe will be a lasting peace in Gaza. And Qatar played a substantial role from the beginning, working with our folks to ensure that came about. So I want to thank you for that historic peace. We look forward to joining the president as that gets, it's already been delivered, but as that's formally signed as well. And I'm also proud that today we're announcing or signing a letter of acceptance to build a Qatari Emiri Air Force facility at the Mountain Home Air Base in Idaho. The location will be host a contingent of Qatari F-15s and pilots to enhance our combined training, increase lethality, interoperability. It's just another example of our partnership. And I hope you know, Your Excellency, that you can count on us.
Oh, dead ass. He knows. And what the rest of us now know is that giving Crimes the Clown a plane was the fastest way for Qatar to not only get NATO-level backing out of the United States military, should anyone decide to pick on the human rights violator in the future, but they also got their very own Air Force facility built right in the United States on a U.S. military base in Idaho. So our Air Force can teach theirs how to fly the planes they just bought from us. Because what could go wrong with having a foreign military base out of one of our domestic military installations?
At last the roof goes on and nothing can go wrong. Oh no, it all went wrong!
And while we're waiting for another whiskey-soured announcement from the Secretary of War, is there any new military-themed bullshit this regime wants to declare? Maybe something that gives old man remembering history wrong?
I don't want to be politically correct anymore. And please remember, I wrote about Osama bin Laden exactly 1 year ago, 1 year before he blew up the World Trade Center. And I said, you got to watch Osama bin Laden. And the fake news would never let me get away with that statement unless it was true. But I said 1 year before to Pete Hegseth, I said 1 year before, where's Pete? In the book, I wrote whatever the hell the title, I can't tell you. But I can tell you there's a page in there devoted to the fact that I saw somebody named Osama bin Laden and I didn't like it. And you got to take care of him. They didn't do it. A year later, he blew up the World Trade Center. So we got to take a little credit because nobody else is going to give it to me. You know, the old story. They don't give you credit, just take it yourself.
Oh, well, Dementia Don is at it again, taking credit from a black man who did what his pasty predecessor could not, kill Osama bin Laden. So sad, really, that Eric's dad is trying to usurp another man's victory, one recently Fat Nixon did something no other man occupying the White House before has ever done. Probably because it's the most anti-American thing a world leader could do.
A flag burning mob, and we've made it a 1 year penalty for inciting riots. We took the freedom of speech away because that's been through the courts, and the courts said you have freedom of speech. But what has happened is when they burn a flag, it agitates and irritates crowds. I've never seen anything like it on both sides, and you end up with riots. So we're going on that basis. We're looking at it from not from the freedom of speech, which I always felt strongly about, but never passed the courts. We took the freedom of speech away.
Well, that kind of raises the stakes for the rest of this show, mostly because I kind of say whatever I want because I can, or at least I used to be able to. Damn. This is so confusing. I mean, who has the time to
Scooby-Doo this shit?
When there is so much stupid shit happening all around us right now. For starters, the Republican running for Virginia governor doesn't know that being bigoted during a debate isn't the flex that she thinks it is.
My opponent was asked about her record of discrimination, and importantly, my opponent has previously said that she does not think that gay couples should be allowed to marry. She
That's
has said
not
that she is
discrimination.
"Quote unquote," morally
That's
opposed to same-sex marriage.
Time for
My
rebuttal.
Opponent has also previously said that she thinks it's okay for someone to be fired from their job for being gay. That's discrimination.
Wow, and with her whole chest. That Republican repeatedly said firing someone because of sexual preferences or denying someone a marriage cert isn't discrimination. Like, her voters in her state don't come from the fourth from the top ranking public school in the nation and can't distinguish between the poorly educated and the rest of us by the bigotry that they spout. No wonder her Democratic opponent is up by 9 percentage points in all the polls. Meanwhile, in other this fascist takeover sucks news, Portland and Chicago have been under attack by Mar-a-Lago face gnomes, frozen Gestapo roaming their streets, looking to disappear anyone who's brown or black. They've been rappelling from Black Hawk helicopters in order to destroy entire apartment buildings while zip-tying and dragging naked children into the street. They boxed a woman in a car in and used their vehicles and then shot at her 7 times, leaving 5 bullet wounds in her body and herself to drive herself to the hospital. And let's not forget about pepper spraying a dude in a frog suit during a peaceful protest, because that's not at all aggro.
Damn!
But please tell me again about how the governor of Oregon and the mayor of Portland are hiding all the Antifa in that state from the scope of Puppy Killer Gnome.
I was in Portland yesterday and had the chance to visit with the governor of Oregon and also the mayor. They're in town and they are absolutely covering up the terrorism that is hitting their streets. While you talked about some of the stories of our ICE agents, our Border Patrol agents, how they have been attacked, how they have been shot at, injured, the damage that they've done, these leaders in these local cities, along with Pritzker and Johnson, ignore what's going on, or sir, they're helping Antifa cover it up.
I asked the mayor that himself. He said that Portland was perfectly safe, a beautiful city, no problems. And I said, well, why did you clear the streets for me today then and build out a 4-block radius to make sure I could get in and out of here? And these people on the street screaming death to ICE. There's graffiti that says Molotovs melt ice. We have the guillotines. We're going to use them.
What did Gestapo Barbie just say? ICE has guillotines and they're going to use them? Where did they get them? From rummaging through the evidence collected on January 6th? Oh, and I know exactly who needs to hear this. Antifa is short for anti-fascist. It's an idea that anyone who thinks Nazis, white supremacists, colonizers, basically everyone who makes up the Trump regime, are bad and should be stopped in their tracks with the liberal exercising of our First Amendment. And of course, being an idea, Antifa has no organization and no official members. A concept maggots are having a really hard time wrapping their very smooth and barely double-digit IQ brains around. And another thing, I don't understand why Cruella de Gnome thinks anyone's hiding the war in Portland from her, when this is what it sounds like just outside the detention center.
People of Xander, the time has come to rejoice and renounce your paltry gods. Your salvation is at hand. Isalka!
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Listen to these words. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Then bring it down hard. Solemn day. Put it together.
What are you doing?
Dance off, bro. Me and you.
I mean, people are showing up dressed as inflated unicorns, pandas, elephants, raccoons, frogs, dancing in front of uber-militarized assholes who are shooting priests in the head with paintballs, while KK Cowgirl Christy stands on a rooftop staring down a guy in a chicken costume. And this is supposed to be the reason why Invasion Dawn is sending the National Guard into Oregon and Chicago? Unfortunately for them, a Trump-appointed judge said all the no's.
For a second time in 2 days, a Trump-appointed judge stopped the president from sending troops into Portland.
On Saturday, protesters took to the streets in Portland, Oregon, in an anti-ICE protest. Federal agents using tear gas and mace to stop them. The judge, a Trump appointee, writing that the president's attempt to federalize the National Guard violates the state of Oregon's right to control its troops.
That prompted the White House to announce it would move National Guard troops from other states, California and Texas, to those cities.
Now, after that ruling, the Trump administration tried to reassign troops from California and send them into the city. But officials from California and Oregon objected to the move, saying that there is no rebellion in Portland and local law enforcement can handle clashes with protesters.
A federal judge in Oregon temporarily blocked the Trump administration's efforts to send troops from California, or for that matter, any other state, to Portland.
District Judge Karen Immergut, a Trump appointee, found that his move to federalize and deploy the National Guard likely exceeded his constitutional authority.
The temporary restraining order is now in effect until October 19th, and a hearing will be scheduled to decide whether it should be extended for another 2 weeks.
Fuck yeah, it should. Hell, extend it for at least the next 3 years for all the reasons this judge said in their ruling.
The court found that Trump's deployment exceeded his statutory authority under 10 U.S.C. Section 12406, violated the 10th Amendment by intruding on state sovereignty, and violated the Posse Comitatus Act that limits the U.S. military's role in enforcing domestic law. In its ruling, the court emphasized that the protests at the ICE facility in Portland had, in the weeks before the order, been relatively quiet and manageable by existing local and federal law enforcement. The judge held that Donald Trump's determination lacked a, quote, colorable basis. In other words, it was insufficiently tied to the facts on the ground, aka he was lying about it, and she rejected the view that tensions everywhere in the country or speculative future danger could justify federalizing the Guard in Oregon.
And the first thing that kind of told you maybe the federal government isn't doing so hot as when they kind of start off some of their arguments talking about Truth Social as their facts. And I actually got a comment from the judge. Is this really how you're going to move forward, based on Truth Social?
The judge wrote this about recent clashes between protesters and federal officers. She said that they are inexcusable, but they are nowhere near the type of incidents that cannot be handled by regular law enforcement. She also went on to say that the Trump administration's arguments, quote, risk blurring the line between civil and military federal power to the detriment of this nation.
You must have an actual facts based on reality, not social media or just your gut feeling, if you want to mobilize the military here in the United States.
And that is why the entire Chubby Brigade sent by Texas Governor Hot Wheels to Illinois is now sitting on their already fat asses with nothing to do but waste taxpayer money, millions of dollars, for a show of languidity. Only no one asked for it. A sentiment Chicagoans are not too shy to express right to their faces.
You guys are too f***ing fat. Pete Hegseth said so.
Hey, go back to Texas and work on your f***ing reading scores. Texas National Guard.
Hey.
Quit
hey,
your f***ing
job. Hey. F*** you guys. Hey, guys. Guys, f*** you. Fat f***. Gravy SEALs?
Hey! Told you, we do not want you here. Please do not try to create a civil f***ing war.
Get a real job!
Well, they used to have a real job until the incontinent autocrat took over, and now they're just the laughingstock of Chicago. And not just because they eat hot dogs with ketchup.
And now for something completely different.
The brainworm running the Department of Heroin and Human Atrocities has recently outdone himself by revealing the stupidest reason for what's causing autism since his boss proclaimed Tylenol is the culprit. Mostly because saying acetaminophen is hard.
There's two studies that show children who are circumcised early have double the rate of autism. It's highly likely because they're given Tylenol. So, you know, none of this is dispositive, but all of it is stuff that we should be paying attention to.
Damn, you sound like those lies are struggling really hard not to be said. And I don't blame them. Because what your half-eaten brain is suggesting makes absolutely no fucking sense. While unintentionally being pro-women in the workforce. I know it's shocking, but stay with me. Throat Rogan is claiming 80% of the U.S. male population is potentially autistic because they're circumcised. The same autism, he said, was robbing our youth of their ability to hold a job, is apparently the reason why men suck at their jobs, the same jobs they're doing right now, proven to be true with the walking tracheotomy. Making these obviously not even close to being scientifically proven claims about autism and circumcision.
Because there's so much about this moment that is trying to make people feel like they've lost their mind. When in fact, these motherfuckers are crazy.
And while we're on the subject of these crazy motherfuckers, did you know that the U.S. government has been shut down for nearly 2 weeks as of the recording of this show? And in case you missed the memo, it's all because of those pesky Democrats and their mission to make sure every illegal in this country has access to a primary physician at least once a year. Heck, Midget Johnson has been roaming the empty halls of the Capitol building, screaming at the top of his tiny lungs to any reporters who will listen.
Congressional Budget Office says we're going to save $185 billion just in waste and abuse, which is going to make the program work better for the people who depend upon it.
They also say millions of Americans will lose access to Medicaid because of that. But I want
to stay focused. Not Americans, illegal aliens and able-bodied workers.
I think we both know that that's a misleading point here because this is talking about people with legal status, not people who are here illegally.
Not true. Remember that under the 4 years of the Biden administration, when they opened the border wide and we had about 20 million illegal aliens come into the country, they just granted asylum and parole status to
everybody. I recognize what you're saying, but it's people who were granted asylum or parole, and so they were working through the process legally.
And I'll bet that little fucker thought he was clever, you know, labeling documented migrants as illegal because they haven't obtained their citizenship just yet. But that's just because Mikey is used to speaking to the poorly educated masses who watch Fox, not a news channel. Anywhere outside of Cuckooville, say Arizona, where people are catching on to the coded language Republicans are using to explain away why they're defunding Medicare and Medicaid so their billionaire overlords can get an even bigger payday. For example, here's Arizona Senator Mark Kelly to break down the idiocratic lies dribbling out of Mikey's Cheeto dust-covered mouth.
The heart of the disagreement seems to be that Republicans do not think that illegal immigrants should have access to taxpayer-funded health insurance.
And they don't. The federal law is that undocumented individuals do not have access to Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, even the Affordable Care Act. That's the law. So this is a red herring from my Republican colleagues. They don't want to, you know, help folks out because they needed that money. And this should be pretty simple for people to understand. When they gave that extension of the 2017 tax cuts, which helped out the richest Americans, it was partially paid for by taking away Medicaid and taking away these ACA tax credits for people who just can't afford health care. But on November 1st, individuals are going to get these letters if they haven't received them already. Some have. There are folks in Alaska who have received letters that their premiums are going to go up from $600 a month to $4,000 a month. And in my state, in Arizona, 109,000 people are likely to lose their health care, meaning that they are one accident or one illness away from bankruptcy.
And Mark ain't wrong, folks. In order to pay for the bloated billionaire giveaway Mango Mussolini signed last July, Republicans want to kick 70% of people who have health insurance off through the ACA, straight to the curb. And following suit, insurance companies are increasing ACA recipients' premiums by 18% across the board because fewer customers means higher prices for everyone else. But some more than others, specifically the fact that red states will be impacted the most by this manufactured healthcare crisis because they happen to be the ones with the most people using the ACA to afford coverage in the first place.
Newsflash for my colleagues. Over three quarters of the families with health care coverage through the ACA marketplace are in red states. Do you know which five states will see the highest health care rate hikes next year? West Virginia, looking at a 387% rate hike for families that rely on ACA tax credits. Wyoming, 382%. Alaska, 346% rate hike. Tennessee, 320%. Mississippi, 314%. These are states where the average premium will more than triple for families relying on the tax credits. Texas, 289% increase. South Carolina, 285%. Alabama, 284%. South Dakota, 235%. And North Dakota, 234%.
None of those numbers are good for Republicans who want to keep their jobs after the midterms next year. And not for nothing, but 67% of their own party voters are placing the government shutdown at Speaker Johnson's tiny feet, along with his boss, who is looking for any reason to fire more federal employees.
President Trump posted this morning that he'll meet today with his budget director, quote, to determine which of the many Democrat agencies, most of which are a political scam, he recommends to be cut and whether or not those cuts will be temporary or permanent. I can't believe the radical left Democrats gave me this unprecedented opportunity.
A lot of good can come down from shutdowns. We can get rid of a lot of things that we didn't want, and they'd be Democrat things. When you shut it down, you have to do layoffs, so we'd be laying off a lot of people that are going to be very affected, and they're Democrats. They're going to be Democrats.
I'm a huge believer in these government shutdowns.
Something else amazing to see. There is a government shutdown right now, and we are cheering for that. We say, yes, thank you, government shutdown.
Shut the government down, lay them off, purge the government of these deep state bureaucrats, and we'll wake up in a month with a far more leaner, efficient system.
Let's not pretend that the idea of a government shutdown isn't somewhat alluring to most of us as we all dream of ways to make that massive inflated tumor in Washington smaller.
I mean, it kind of feels like, you know, a government shutdown is mostly the stuff you need and kind of gets rid of a lot of the stuff you don't.
President Trump is going to use that as an opportunity to send pink slips and to get rid of left-wing bureaucrats who are imposing left-wing priorities that are contrary to President Trump's priorities. I think that is fantastic.
What about the layoffs? Do you credit?
Well, I call them Democrat layoffs. They're Democrat layoffs. They're causing it. We're ready to go back. It's up to them. Anybody laid off, that's because of the Democrats.
Well, the Project 2025 architect and guy you hired to be the director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, Mr. Russell Vogt, said on the disaster formerly known as Twitter that the reduction in force firings have begun, meaning the 4,000 workers who lost their jobs because their position has been eliminated will not be returning. Don't see how Democrats had anything to do with who your dorky-ass regime is firing now, but okay. And while we're talking about the Democrats, let's take a moment to think about the position they are in right now. Refusing to go along with another billionaire cash grab at the expense of the American people by taking this risk of governmental shutdown proportions. Because it hasn't been lost on anyone on the left, and quite a few people on the right, that all of this healthcare losing and mass federal worker firing is all a product of one simple action taken by a little man with a big secret.
There was a moment earlier this year, you swore in two Republican members during a pro forma session.
So why not swear in Adelita Grijalva, who was elected 2 weeks ago during a pro forma session? Does it have to do with her 218th signature on the discharge petition, the Epstein discharge petition?
No, it has nothing to do with that at all. We will swear her in when everybody gets back. It's a ceremonial duty. We'll schedule it, I guess, as soon as she wants. It has nothing to do with it. We're in pro forma session because there is nothing for the House to do. The House has done its job.
Ms. Grijalva, Rep-elect Grijalva, has not yet had a scheduled date because she was elected after the House was out of session. So I am anxious to administer the oath to her as soon as you guys vote to open the government.
You don't want to be on that scene discharge. How much?
It's totally absurd. You guys are experts in red herrings and distractions.
No,
it has nothing to do with Epstein. The House Oversight Committee is working on the Epstein files right now, releasing 34,000 pages and more on the way.
No, she's the key to
Let me finish. The House Oversight Committee.
Come up with excuses. This is an excuse, so she doesn't sign on to that.
Fuck yeah, it is. See, as of October 15th, military service members will go without pay, although they'll still have to show up for work. And on December 15th, all of us had better signed up for a health insurance plan for triple the current cost. Otherwise, we're not going to get any. Currently, 12 air traffic control towers are down in cities like California, Arizona, Colorado, Florida, New Jersey, and more. And that is just the first 11 days of the Republican shutdown. All because the shortest pedophile protector to ever speak for the House of Reps refuses to call Congress back into session. In fact, he just gave them all another week of paid leave. And all because
Trump is on the Epstein list. Yes, he is. Trump is on the Epstein list. Yes, he is. They can shred the docs, but the truth still exists. Trump is on the Epstein list. Yes, he is.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook, and we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners, because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com, or wherever podcasts are heard.